Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, and this is Womanica. This month, we're talking about rebels with a cause. Women who broke rules and took major risks to upend the status quo and create meaningful change. Today, we're talking about a woman whose relentless work opened the door for millions of Americans to gain better accessibility to everyday life. She's known as the mother of the disability rights movement. Meet Judith Heumann. Judith, or Judy, was born on December 18, 1947 in Philadelphia, and she was raised in Brooklyn. Her parents were German-Jewish immigrants. They had fled Europe just before World War II. Judy's mother, Ilse, never took no for an answer. Because Ilse was always putting up a fight when she didn't like the cards she was dealt, Judy's father gave her the nickname Mighty Might. When Judy was 18 months old, she contracted polio. There was no vaccine at the time, and the disease paralyzed her legs. From that point on, Judy used a wheelchair to get around. Given that Judy was raised under Mighty Might's roof, fighting against injustice was second nature to her. The family table was a stage for lively debates and analysis. If someone asked you a question, you'd better answer. And if you had an opinion, you better be able to defend it. If not, it was off to read up and write a report about it to bring to the next day's meal. But when it came time for Judy to start kindergarten, Judy and her family learned just how ill-prepared and unwilling the world was to accommodate disability. When she showed up for school, the principal physically blocked her from entering the building. He called Judy a fire hazard. This was just the beginning. Time and again, Judy was denied the same schooling that was available to any non-disabled child. But her mother wouldn't stop trying. After 4 years of homeschooling, Judy finally got off the wait list for a special program for kids with disabilities. And later, Judy attended a public high school. Judy later said, "Although my parents had expectations I would be like my brothers, the system itself did not." In the summer, Judy found a reprieve in the sprawling green fields of Camp Jened. Up in the valleys of New York State, Camp Jened created a space for children with disabilities to exist in a place where they never felt excluded. Accessibility was key for campers and counselors alike. There, campers like Judy began to ask the question, if accessibility is possible at Camp Jened, why isn't it possible everywhere else? Judy would go on to fight for that accessibility. In college, she organized students to demand ramps for access to classrooms. From there, she applied to become a teacher. Despite possessing all the necessary qualifications, the New York City Board of Education denied Judy her teaching license. The reason? Judy used a wheelchair. A friend of Judy's passed her story along to the New York Times, where it gained significant attention. And from there, a civil rights lawyer contacted Judy, asking to take up her case. At 22 years old, Judy had become a national voice in the disability rights movement, and eventually, the first wheelchair user to teach in New York City. By 1970, as people approached Judy for help with discrimination cases, she turned more fully to activism. She set up an organization called Disabled in Action, which focuses on protecting and advancing the civil rights of disabled individuals. In 1972, the Rehabilitation Act was making its way through Congress. One particular piece of information, Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act, would bar organizers, programs, and employers with federal funding from discriminating against people with disabilities. That, of course, includes public schools. When the time came, President Nixon vetoed the act. But Judy and other activists knew Nixon was vulnerable. He wanted to get reelected. So they staged a protest. 4 days before the election, Judy and 13 other activists traveled to Nixon's headquarters on Madison Avenue. they blocked traffic during rush hour in Manhattan for almost an hour. The act was finally signed the following year, but before it could be enforced, the government had to pass additional regulations. In 1977, they protested again. This time, more than 100 activists staged a sit-in at a federal building in San Francisco. While similar demonstrations took place around the country, the one in San Francisco, where Judy took part, lasted the longest. For nearly a month, they refused to leave until President Jimmy Carter's administration agreed to implement Section 504. As opponents cut off the water and phone lines, protesters got support from the community. People relayed messages outside the building using sign language. They fashioned a fridge from an AC unit. They manufactured showers out of bathroom sinks. They slept on mattresses provided by supporters. And the Black Panthers dropped off nightly meals to keep spirits high. Inside the building, folks sang and played games, even creating an Easter egg hunt on Easter Day. When the government called a special hearing, Judy gave a forceful and tearful address. She said,
"We will no longer allow the government to oppress disabled individuals. We want the law enforced. We want no more segregation. We will accept no more discussion of segregation. And I would appreciate it if you would stop shaking your head in agreement when I don't think you understand what we are talking about."
The administration was silent for weeks. Judy even traveled to D.C. to continue the protest. Then, on April 28, 1977, while sitting in a bar on Capitol Hill, Judy looked up at the TV and saw the news. Section 504 had been signed after 24 days of protests. In 1990, President Bush would sign into law the well-known Americans with Disabilities Act. It wouldn't have been possible without Judy's work in the decades prior. In 1983, Judy helped establish the World Institute on Disability to push for disability rights beyond the U.S. In the Clinton administration, she served as the Assistant Secretary for the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitation Services. Afterwards, she worked at the World Bank as their first advisor on disability and development. Judy pushed to make disability rights part of the State Department's agenda under the Obama administration, and continues to work for an international version of the ADA. Most recently, Judy was part of an Oscar Award-nominated documentary about Camp Gen Ed called Crip Camp. She also published a memoir about her life. Today, Judy and her husband Jorge Pineda live in Washington, D.C. and continue to work in disability activism, especially around the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. All month, we're talking about rebels with a cause. For more information, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Womanica Podcast. Special thanks to Liz Kaplan, my favorite sister and co-creator. Talk to you tomorrow.